We always say one of the best things about a Monday is talking with our good friend, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, the one and only Mike Grimm. Mike, a good afternoon and a happy Monday to you. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Happy Monday to you as well. Here we are off to another start of a beautiful week in Minnesota.
Well, let's talk about the game that you heard on Kate Radio yesterday. Of course, we are your home for Golden Gopher Athletics. Gophers against Michigan, they come up just a little bit short. And I know we've talked about this before, that Ben Johnson is not a guy that is big on moral victories. We know that. 60-56, they come up just short after leading by double digits in the first half. Mike, give us your thoughts on, again, that's a tough place to go win in Ann Arbor, Michigan, against a good Michigan team. And we know we're close to maybe turning a little bit of a corner, but again, just coming up a bit short.
Yeah, you know, they youth showed again a little bit. And look, they for them to win games, they're going to need both Jamison Battle and Dawson Garcia to one, play a lot, and two, play well and shoot well. That was not the case last week against Purdue when Jamison was 0-for-9 and Dawson was okay. I think he had 15 points. And then yesterday, unfortunately for Dawson, they were both playing pretty well, and then Dawson got his second foul when the Gophers were up by 10 with 10 minutes to go in the first half. And Ben Johnson's general rule is, in terms of if you're one of his go-to guys, once you pick up two first-half fouls, you have to sit the rest of the half. He just does not want to see a third foul. We could debate that in a different conversation as to whether that's the right thing. Yesterday, Alabama got a win at Missouri, and their best player picked up two fouls in the first 2 minutes of the game. And their coach did not take him out, and he finished the game with two fouls and played like 36 minutes. So I've always been a little less stringent about it. I personally don't believe in that. But that was the choice that was made, and so you went 10 minutes without Dawson Garcia, and consequently you went from up 10 to a tie game at halftime, and then Michigan pretty well controlled the game in the second half. They didn't run away with it. They were up between most of the second half, 5 to 8 points. And the Gophers cut it to one possession with a minute to go, and just couldn't get anything over the hump to get there. And then to exasperate it a little bit, Dawson Garcia rolled an ankle in the second half and missed much of the second half as well. So the margin of error is very thin, and that's particularly true when you don't have both Battle and Garcia on the floor, and that's what got them yesterday a little bit. That is, you know, when Garcia went out, they missed 10 straight shots, you know, and that's a tough thing to try to win a game when you miss that many shots. And then they had 9 turnovers in the second half, which is too many as well.
Talon Cooper, 15 points, a Battle with 14, Garcia with 13, but like Mike mentioned, some foul trouble for Dawson yesterday. 60-56, Gophers get beat by Michigan, 7-11 on the season. And next up for the Gophers, they're going to be hosting Indiana coming up on Wednesday night. We'll have that game for you right here on Kate. Mike, give us a little scouting report on how the Hoosiers are doing this year.
Well, they've had quite the roller coaster. They were the preseason pick to win the Big Ten. Trace Jackson Davis was the preseason player of the year in the Big Ten. Daryl Thompson, my buddy and your buddy and everybody's buddy, his son Race Thompson came back for an additional year to play for Indiana. And so they had high hopes, and they were pretty good in the non-conference. And then they hit kind of a speed bump where they just kind of went haywire a little bit. They lost a couple of games they shouldn't have. Race Thompson is now nursing an injury that he's been out about 2.5-3 weeks now. It's likely that he's going to play on Wednesday, but we don't know for sure and for how long, as he sprained his knee, but it wasn't bad enough to need surgery or anything. So they're letting that heal, so he's back. And then all of a sudden, they have caught fire just in time for the Gophers. They blew out Michigan State yesterday, and then last week, remember, the Gophers lost big to Illinois on Monday. Illinois returned for a home game against Indiana later in the week, and Indiana smoked them at home. So they've got back-to-back mighty impressive wins, and Trace Jackson Davis just won National Player of the Week based on those two performances. He had like 31 points and 16 rebounds yesterday against Michigan State. So It's going to be a tall task, no pun intended, as Indiana has caught fire just in time to get to Minneapolis.
Wednesday, 7:30, your pregame 8 o'clock tip-off from the barn coming up on Wednesday night. Mike Grimm, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics and, of course, sports director at the Minnesota News Network. And, Mike, it would have been last week, so I don't think we've gotten your thoughts on the trade of Arise that he got traded from the Minnesota Twins to the Miami Marlins. And coming back is a Pablo Lopez, a decent pitcher. It's weird that if you are a 500 record pitcher with an ERA, you know, in the middle to upper threes, that's considered really good by, I guess, today's standards. So he comes over. Luis Arraez, the batting champion, going to Miami. And I looked something up or had one of our listeners call in. I can't give myself credit. That Rod Carew was the last batting champ that was traded the year after he won a batting championship. That was like back in 1970-something.
Wow. That is the analytics have changed the way we view things now, right? The analytics on Pablo Lopez, I shouldn't say the way we view things. I should say the way that front office folks view things, general managers and such. Pablo Lopez with the analytics, you mentioned his ERA was in the mid to upper threes, and that is pretty good. Like records are no longer important, even though at the end of the day it's about winning a game, because so much is out of a pitcher's control in terms of whether you win or lose the game. Is your team any good at hitting? Is your team any good at fielding? So the ERA has been the long standby as to what, you know, happens. But even then, you may have an earned run if your defense is not as rangy as somebody else and all of that. So I think the theory is Minnesota does have a pretty good defense, particularly up the middle, especially when Buxton plays. Obviously, they got one of the best shortstops defensively in the league with Correa. And we'll see where it goes with the other positions. So the question is, what kind of a pitcher can Pablo Lopez be around what I think the Twins would think is better surrounding? And then on the flip side, the analytics batting average is not as important as it used to be. It just doesn't mean as much. I'm saddened by it a little bit, but it just doesn't mean as much if you're the batting champion of a league like it used to, because on-base percentage is more important, power hitting is more important. People look at launch angles and all this other stuff, and Arraez just doesn't rise, no pun intended, to that to that level of you normally would think, well, if you're gonna trade a batting champ, you'd probably get a Cy Young contender back, and that and that could be true at times, but it just isn't in this case. So I'm lukewarm on it. I don't know. Lukewarm's not the right term. I'm neutral at this point. I think this is one of those trades where both teams picked up guys that they probably need, and we have to wait to see literally how they perform before we can make judgment. I guess if I had to lean, I would lean that I probably would not have pulled the trigger, and that's especially true if these guys and when you bring up the Twins with me, I just am gonna always bring it up. If you're going to trade an American League batting champion for a pitcher, let's see if he can ask him to get more than 14 outs.
Correct.
You know? I mean, it drives. Look, if you're going to give up that big of a piece of your lineup, a guy that's getting on base, you know, at nearly a 400 clip, and he doesn't strike out much, and he puts the ball in play, and he's a good clubhouse guy, and he's popular with the fans, and you're going to get a pitcher back for him. Then you got to let that pitcher, collect more than 15 outs, which would be five innings. And in some cases, they don't even let him do that. So, without a change in philosophy along those lines, I don't particularly care for the trade. What good does adding starting pitching depth mean when you're not going to let your starting pitchers go do what every other team lets their starting pitchers do? And so, we'll see if they have a change in philosophy. I've talked to a few people around the organization. I think there's a belief that they are going to change a little bit of, you know, that they maybe look at what they did as not as smart maybe as what it should have been, and we'll see if that's the case. But look, you got Sonny Gray, you got Joe Ryan. I mean, the pitching staff, the starters, that's going to be all right, but they got to get you more than five innings, you know, and you don't have Chris Archer every fifth day getting you 12 outs, you know.
Correct.
Or nine outs, pitching 60 pitches and saying that's enough because his arm is not good enough to go further, and that even complicated the problem more because it put more pressure on it. So, if they decide that they're going to let the starting pitchers do what starting pitchers are supposed to do, then the trade can be all right. But if they just traded the American League batting champion to a guy that is just going to come in and get you 15 outs on his starts, then I don't like the trade. But hopefully they have changed a little bit. Because not only, and we've talked about it, and people are going to get sick of me talking about it, but not only is your starting pitching going to be better and more they're going to feel better about themselves if they get a chance to go into the sixth or the seventh inning. But the bullpen, which was much maligned, and I thought unnecessarily, I thought much of it was self-induced by how the usage was done, how they used the bullpen more than the actual performance. They had four or five really good bullpen guys, including two or three dominant ones. But because of how they used the starters, they never really got slotted in enough to where they could be an effective bullpen. So hopefully with, you know, if you can get more innings out of your starters, your bullpen automatically gets better. So, the jury is certainly out on that.
I didn't like the trade. I still don't like the trade. And you made a great point, which a lot of Twitter users also mentioned. Yeah, if Rocco is not going to pitch him, six or seven innings, then it's not an even trade because he gave up, again, a guy that I think could even hit for a better average if he wasn't looking to, drive doubles or triples because he's that good of hitter. Mike Grimm on a Mike Grimm Monday here on Kaint Radio. And, Mike, before I let you go, want to get your thoughts on the divisional round of the NFL. My thoughts, the Giants showed that we lost to a not good team last week. Oh, just a shellacking by the Eagles.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. They gave him some good medicine, I think, to get him back out there. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Buffalo Bills did not play good at home in the snow. We saw Stephon Diggs have a moment or a meltdown with his quarterback. And the 49ers, Brock Purdy and company, still finding a way to advance. That defense is pretty good. And they move on after beating the Cowboys. Mike, your thoughts or takeaways from the weekend of football?
Yeah, I had the Bills in my own mind that they would win the Super Bowl, so the team I thought would win the Super Bowl are out. I did not see that game, of course. I was on the air and then on a flight home. So when we landed yesterday afternoon and I saw that score, what was it, 27-10?
Correct, yeah.
I was like, holy cow, and then reading some of the accounts of it, it may not even have been that close. It sounds like the Bengals dominated that game from opening kick right to the end and were in control. What was it, 14-0 maybe to start, I think. That was a surprise to me. It's funny because a year ago, remember when the Bengals lost in the Super Bowl and Joe Burrow after the game for the Bengals was commenting about how, well, we're going to get back here and blah, blah, blah. And I remember, might even talk with you about it, thinking, man, I'd love Joe Burrow, but the odds of him making a Super Bowl again in his career are low, right?
Because I
thought the
yes.
Bengals, I don't know if they were a flash in the pan last year. Clearly, they've continued what they've done. They've got some great skill players, and the quarterback is really good. But I thought, he's in a conference that includes Pat Mahomes, that includes, Josh Allen and others, right? And I thought, I think he's probably barking up the wrong tree, but here he is. He's going to go up against Patrick Mahomes, who's hobbled with an injury, and there's a good chance he's going to make his second straight Super Bowl. So tip of the cap to him, even if he doesn't, but he's got that team playing well. There's no doubt about that. And then in the NFC, I did get a chance to watch the second half of that Cowboys and Niners game, and boy, the Niners look really good. Aren't they efficient offensively? I mean, they
yes.
just kind of, they have so many weapons as well. It's pretty amazing, really. And it sounds like just in reading that they are tied up with a whole bunch of salary cap issues, and it certainly helps that they've got a Brock Purdy who doesn't make a lot of money there, although that's not the reason, that they're able to do this. But they might be on a short leash in terms of how long they stay a contender. So this is probably their opportunity to maybe go in and win it. Of course, they lost a Super Bowl to the Chiefs. What was that, was that 2020, I want to say? Calendar year 2019, maybe. I can't remember now. But anyway, they lost. They were ahead in that game much of the way before Mahomes had that late drive. So, I'm thinking probably Niners on the NFC side. I think they'll go in and upset the Eagles, although that's a hard one to totally predict. And then, the other ones, it's all dependent on Mahomes. What can he do with that ankle? If he's healthy and can move a little bit, I'll go with the Chiefs. And if not, I'll go with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. And not a huge limb I'm out on there. But I think we're in for a couple of good games, it looks like.
And not too often, and I haven't seen the lines yet, but I assume the home teams are favored. But it's if you bet on the away team in this one, in both cases, there's going to be no shocker that they win. I mean, I like San Francisco on the road, and I like Cincinnati on the road as well. But you look at these four teams, and as a Vikings fan, it's hard to maybe swallow or look at. But the bottom line is, these are the four best teams in the NFL. There's no doubt. They showed it over the last weekend. They showed it throughout the season. And from a Vikings perspective, we are still far away, maybe farther than we thought we were, from being in the same class as these four teams. There's no Cinderella story in the final four for the NFL. All four of these teams are very good, and you could put four in a hat and draw one and say, this is your team that you have to cheer for, and that team's got just the best of chance of winning the Super Bowl as the other three.
Yeah, I think if you looked at most of the quote-unquote power rankings, they had the Vikings about the seventh, eighth, or ninth best team, and I think that's probably right. Certainly these four are better. The Bills are better. The Cowboys are better. I don't know if I'd say the Giants are better, although they really dominated the Vikings in that playoff game. But anyway, yeah, I think the Vikings right now are a top 10 team and not any better, and not much worse. And now they're going to have to overhaul the defense. They're going to hire a new defensive coordinator, and hopefully they can get that figured out. Because I think offensively, they've got an opportunity to score points every week, obviously, and we'll see where it goes. They're in some real problems salary cap-wise as well. I think it's likely that they're going to have to restructure Kirk Cousins' deal. They'll probably add a year to it, but, kick the can down the road again, as they've been doing now for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
And then, eventually they'll have to pay the piper on that. And then they're going to have to take a hard look. We talked about it. Eric Kendricks, Harrison Smith, Adam Thielen. I mean, there's some guys that are, even Dalvin Cook, guys that are going to get paid big money. And if you want to assemble a team and add some defensive pieces and stay with where you want to be on the cap while also improving, you may have to look at some guys to either restructure or flat out cut. And I don't know. I'm not the salary capologist enough to know how it all impacts it, because I know if you cut certain guys, it still counts against the cap, but not as much. But you're out money, and dead money matters and all this stuff. I don't get it all. But I know that I think this Vikings front office is, and they have one of the best cap guys there is. He's been working miracles, it seems, for a few years now. They're going to have their work cut out for him to try to figure it all out. And obviously an upgrade on defense is absolutely 100% the priority here in the offseason.
Mike Grimm Monday here on KETE, sports director, Minnesota News Network, the voice of Golden Gopher Athletics. We'll hear from Mike later this week, of course, in the Ben Johnson Coaches Show, and Wednesday night at the Barn, Indiana, in town, the Hoosiers, 7:30 pregame. We'll have your tip-off at 8. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Like always, have a great week, and we'll talk next Monday.
All right, sounds good, Aaron. Always enjoy it. Thank you.